was a long time ago, longer now than it seems, in a place that perhaps you've seen in your dreams. For the story that you are about to be told took place in the holiday worlds of old. Now, you've probably wondered where holidays come from. If you haven't, I'd say it's time you begun.
Sarah's mouth is jammed full of Tootsie Roll at the moment, so that doesn't really
help.
It is not.
It is not.
Yeah. All right.
How much did you have to eat this morning, Piggy?
Let's not talk about what I had to eat this morning. You shut your mouth about what I had to eat this morning.
Get the axe.
Hello. And happy Halloween. I'm going to eschew the obligatory. I meant to track down that Orson Welles thing. The War of the Worlds. Why, it's Halloween, or whatever that thing is he says.
No, you'll find it later.
Right. Yeah. Don't you wish you could just open up Clyde's head like a melon sometimes, just reach inside to grab stuff? You know what I mean? I need not like a melon as such, but like a big opening thing.
Just ask him a question. You'll get more information than you like originally thought.
I'm a hooker.
I say that in all kindness.
No, he was so high yesterday. He was so high. Now, here's just as a side note. I'm not going to mention who this is. But I know somebody who shall remain nameless, who was at Clyde's gathering last night, because you thought Clyde was in bad shape yesterday. There is someone known to all of us. I will not mention who this person is, for reasons that will quickly become apparent. It's not Kristen. Were you writing Kristen's name? It's funny how you're writing Kristen's name.
I went to happy hour with her yesterday.
Like, you always just assume that it's her. Like,
happy hour?
It was a happy hour indeed.
Whenever I have information that's embarrassing about somebody,
she was at Dante's. That's why I asked.
Whenever it's a story that clearly ends with someone drinking a lot and then having some sort of misadventure.
No, Kristen was being good. She was just drinking like cranberry juice.
Good for you, Kristen. Well, and no, the story does not involve her. I will not specify whether this person is male, female, anything about them.
Did I guess it?
I didn't say that's who it was.
Anyway,
I'm simply saying that this person was at Dante's last night where Clyde holds forth and eats the brains of children. And this person lives very far away from Dante's. I mean, I'm talking like hundreds of blocks. And when I say hundreds of blocks, I mean like hundreds of blocks away. I mean deep in the heart of the city. This person was not in any shape to drive home and walked home from Dante's last night. At about, it started from Dante's at about 2:30 in the morning.
The most dangerous time of the morning.
I have to go home now, this person said. This person, by the way, is not me. It left Dante's at about 2:30 and walked home to
Beaverton.
Well, let's just say it's hundreds of blocks away. No, it wasn't Scotty J.
Oh.
I mean, it might have been Scotty J.
He's an upright citizen.
It was Scotty J.
No, Scotty would totally take a cab.
It wasn't. No, yeah, you know, he'd just be breaking out his roll of hundreds.
He'd call a limo.
Yeah, honey, call me limo now. Have dinner ready for me. No, it was not Scotty J. Hey, Scotty, are you typing anything on the screen? Because I'm unable to see. If you are, oh, thank you. Okay. I just want to make sure. Thank you very much.
He was in deep thought.
No, he was sitting there. Scotty's
wearing his holiday shirt today.
He came in today, and look, I know that I'm no fashion plate or anything, but Scotty's got a very aggressive-looking outfit on today. Have you seen his shoes? It's some shoes that are so bizarre that I don't know whether they're good or whether they're bad. Only Sarah can really discern that.
I haven't. I didn't get past the mobile DJ logo on his shirt.
Really? Is that true?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Is it like headphones with wheels?
Let's find... That's genius.
Scotty, please be coming in.
First thought.
Scotty, please now to enter the...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
Come on!
Right. Or a record in...
Oh,
a record
man.
In motion. Wow.
Oh, that's the best...
They're kind of European. I think he's looking good.
The best reaction from Scotty is just sort of... Oh. Oh, my.
Good morning.
It's a rather extreme look that you have.
I really thought it was flowers when I first saw it from a distance. But then it's
skulls.
Tiny little skulls.
And then what is the name of your... what does your boob say? NW Mobile DJ?
Right.
You realize that the embroidering on that shirt in the monogram is the same color as its background, so you can't really read it.
Did it on purpose.
Okay. I did that on purpose. My girlfriend lives in Canada. You shut your face.
No, just... We had this outfit for an Halloween event we did for a college
what
one year.
What is that with those shoes, man? I know like you're wearing wrestling shoes.
Yeah.
They totally look like Asics wrestling sneakers, or those whatever those things are.
They're called Rush. I don't know why, but...
Oh, and white socks. Okay.
Yeah. No,
I don't think those shoes are that bad.
Yeah, but he's got the...
They need to have a wider... Like, his pants need to have a wider leg to cover
it. Look how he's got the high water pants on, though.
Yeah,
and
the
then
pants
white socks.
The pants aren't working with the shoes, but I like the shoes.
Yeah, well, I suppose. All right, there you go.
The reason for the white is we couldn't blatantly advertise at the event, so we just kind of subtly had it on there.
And by subtle, you mean that it can't be read.
Correct.
That is subtle. There's really nothing more subtle than something that can't be seen. Well done, Scotty.
So what does that say, mobile doctor?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It does
look
like mobile doctor.
That I am.
All right.
Okay.
Now, those shoes are, I guess they're okay. So there is, I don't know, I'd say 5% of you that
passed this muster. They look like leather chucks almost.
Yeah, I suppose.
But all
I can
black.
See that. All right.
It's not as bad as one would suspect.
It's not really as bad as our sort of description made it sound.
I actually love these shoes. They're comfortable.
Okay. Thank you. Well, look, Kevin, I'm no one to talk. I just, you know, I've been wearing, I thought I was going to be able to get rid of the baseball cap on Friday, but that time has not come. So I'm just continuing to wear a baseball cap, which means that I just continuing to wear just solid black ensembles. And the thing about me is I got like 15 variations on this. Like I got 15 variations on the same black sweater, 15 different versions of the same black button. Down 15 variations on the same.
So you're
black.
Really not wearing the same thing every day, like I suspected.
I'm not actually. I'm really not. I mean, it's just. But it isn't really much beyond that because it is just endless. I mean, because my whole thing is once I find. Thank you, Scotty. I'm sorry. I forgot you were there. You may go now. My whole thing is once I find something that works, I'm so terrified of stepping out on my own and making any independent decision that I just clone that outfit over and over again with everything else I buy. And really, it's like, what is that third Newtonian law of motion or whatever where the object stays on its given path unless acted upon by an outside force? The outside force is Sarah going, oh, God, who picked that out? And then I say, I don't, me? And then you take me to the store and we have to buy something else. By the way, you'll be happy to know that. I went to the men's warehouse or whatever, and I got that suit for Aaron's wedding. So I got a letter in the mail from Tony down at the men's warehouse. So Lara's going through the mail in the morning because and I managed to hide how much that suit cost. Not that it wasn't a deal. I mean, it really was.
It was a very handsome man's suit.
It was, I got to say, the suit was very good. I liked it, and it's like, I'm trying it on. I mean, I don't want to say how much it cost, but I mean, it was on sale, but it was still many, many hundreds of dollars.
Oh.
Yeah, well, but thanks to Lara, I have this amazing thing called credit. So it's like, what? I don't have to pay now. I'll pay at some indeterminate point in the future that will never come. So I just, you know, right on the platinum card or whatever. The platinum card, which makes me look really cool, but which I can only get because of her. I have nothing. So anyway, so I get the whole suit, and I mentioned, she's like, how much was this? Yeah, it's not important, baby. So the suit makes the man. Yes, but how much was it? Let's talk about it after the wedding. Yes, but how much was it? Just don't worry about it.
Here, I bought you some candy.
Look, bright, shiny object. Look at this feather.
I was thinking of baking a blueberry pie for you later.
have I told you I love your hair and you're looking younger than ever? So she got a note from the men's warehouse in the mail like 2 days ago. And it was two things. It was A, for some reason.
Please tell me it was Tony asking for like his passes.
No. Okay. No, but would that surprise you?
No, because he was there last time.
Because I walk well, and Tony, God love him. Tony
seems like a guy.
A friend, Tony, who works at, we used to work with him at Entercom, and that's how we know him. And it's not a plug, by the way. I'm not the pimping men's warehouse. I'm just saying that they helped me out. Because I walked in there, had no idea that he worked there, and he's like, Rick. And I'm like, hey, Tony. Hey, what's up, dude? G? Whatever. He's like the O guy, sort of. And and I'm like, I got a wedding, and no suit. All right, brother, I'll hook you up. Walk over here. And like, he did, in fact, hook me up.
How about a pair of stretch slacks?
Would you like some Hager pants? these are made of plastic, Rick. They're a revolutionary new kind of pants. Anyway, no, but so I get this letter from the men's warehouse 2 days ago. And God love you, Tony, but for reasons unknown to me, they included another copy of the receipt in there, first of all.
Good. So it's like, for tax time.
Well, is that what it's for?
Sure.
I can't write that suit
off.
No,
you can't. You can't.
What if I wear it to, like, a work event
now?
No,
you can't. You can't write off clothes.
Really?
Yeah.
At all?
At all.
What if I were a stripper?
Nope.
Why can't you write off clothing?
No, I could write off clothes.
I don't think so.
I could write off clothes on coin.
Tim is the voice of reason. Well, what if they're necessary for... Listen to Tim. It's all going to end in tears. Well, we'll get back to this. I'm going to write this down. Because now it's my...
Actually, I'm always fighting with people about money.
You
all the time?
Clothes, taxes. You ought to see the stuff that I try to write off. I tried to write off my TiVo. That didn't work. No,
That's a work expensive.
Well, I tried.
Television did.
So what did Tony send you in the mail?
Back on the TiVo for just 1 second, though. It was the first generation, though. I tried to write off the first generation TiVo, or the whatever, like the early model, but it's like, I think they were so unknown at that point that they thought I was making something up. A TiVo? What's a TuVo? What is it? And I'm like, oh, that's a thing. It's a VCR? Well, it's like a VCR. No, you know, and it's... Anyway... So the men's warehouse sends me this envelope, and it's like, thanks again for your purchase of many hundreds of dollars. And so I hear this, you know, so now Laura, there's no more hiding. Now Laura knows how much, and more and more to the point, she looked at she just got the credit card bill, and she knows how much the hat cost. You don't want to know from cost. That hat, I'm going to be paying on that hat. I got to wear that hat everywhere I go for the rest of my life to make it worth the cost. But anyway, that's not the best part. The best part is I buy this expensive suit for Aaron's wedding. I wear it. Now, Tony knows, I mean, it's not like we're best pals, but I mean, we've known each other for a while because we worked at Entercom together for, I don't know, a year. And before that, he was at Fisher. So we've known each other for a few years. He's a listener to the show now and then. He kind of knows, you know, our whole deal. This is what he says in the handwritten note, because it's that touch of, you know, that touch of we care that they do. And I'm not trying to be snarky about that. I appreciate handwritten notes from business. Kind of cool. But it's like the... Rick, thanks again for your business. You know, hope the wedding worked out and the suit looked good. Hope Sarah approved and liked it. You know, Tony. And so I walk in and there's my wife in the living room going, I hope, what are you thanking me for? What did I do?
You make me very uncomfortable.
So there's Laura in the living room.
You always set me up. You always put me in these positions to where
I put you in this position. It's Tony.
Because
it's
you obviously Tony. Talked to Tony about whether or not I'd like it.
I did. I said that you were the clothing gatekeeper.
You should be talking about Laura in this time.
Laura doesn't know what I should wear. She has... Look, baby, you think if I could get... Look, in terms of clothing...
I don't want to have another one of those awkward conversations with her that we had at the wedding.
No, it's said with love. Anyway, so she's in the living room going, I hope you and Laura thought the suit was, or Sarah thought the suit was great. So, it's all.
Yeah, that sounds great.
It was genius. It really was pretty fantastic, actually.
So that wedding was just a win-win situation for Laura all around.
Good times for everyone. All right, so there you go.
Someone's not getting toys for Christmas.
No. Anywho, I'm sorry, I don't want to distract Scotty. He's, quote, fixing up some spooky effects for Halloween. try to include Scotty Monster Mash in that. Every opportunity. Stephanie Miller broke the no Monster Mash rule this morning, by the way. She played Monster Mash at least once.
Stephanie Miller and Lars were together with Wolf Blitzer last night.
Wolf Blitzer? Really? Mm-hmm. You know, she's pretty good. You know, I know a lot of people don't care for her radio program. But, you know,
I do. Yeah. I think it's a fine program.
I think, it's a hell of a lot better than a lot of the other crap that's out there. Even if you are not into current events, where I was going to say that, I mean, I like the show, but even if you are not into current events, which she does, even just in terms of sheer entertainment value, it is a hell of a lot better than the stuff that's out there. And if you are, like, into politics, if you're a political junkie, or if you're into current events, man, it's a great show. But anyway, so she was on, she was really good on television, like on those panel shows. She's really good. She just shreds people on there. So, yeah, even if you are not into politics, and just in terms of, like, in terms of LOLing, you should check it out, because it's better than most of the crap out there. All right, what was I saying here? No, but she played Monster Mash this morning. It's like, you're not supposed to do that. Everybody knows that you're not supposed to play Monster Mash. There's like, we need like a 30-year moratorium where no copies of that record are allowed to exist anywhere. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Let's see how loud this is. Our good friend, Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
Good morning.
What's up, brother?
Oh, not too much.
How you feeling?
Was it you?
No.
No, it was okay. Not. No. It was not him. No, you sound a little under the weather.
No, actually, I'm okay. My son is having some issues.
It sounds like it. You got the throat scraping.
He didn't get the cat in the cooler again, did he?
No. This is my older son.
What did he kill?
He's 12, and he's a cutter.
Oh. Wait, are you screwing with us?
No, I'm dead serious.
Oh, my God.
It might can't be too loud. He's a cutter. I have a cutter first.
What?
He's totally a goth kid now.
Why are you always doing this to us? Why are you always calling him, dead cat, cutting kid?
You gotta
start warning us. Tell Scotty in advance.
Is he a carver or a cutter? Like, does he write things or does he just cut?
Does he make little figurines out of
his
flesh?
He's got the X-Acto and he's writing names. And
is he a carver?
And it's one thing, you know, I think every guy took a knife and made a little anarchy symbol on his hand.
Who hasn't carved Slayer into their forearm with a rusty fish scaler?
You know, but it's, oh boy, it's bad. The school won't let him go to school because he's setting a bad example, so there goes like $30 a session for therapy visits. And
damn.
What I can
Happy Halloween, everyone.
This is a public service announcement of birth control.
Oh, shit.
That's what this is.
You are a cautionary tale.
I am Jack's sense of regret.
Oh, my God.
Good God almighty. Doing some drinking today, Chris?
not yet.
Do you have the day off?
I wasn't supposed to.
One hopes.
But I had to take today off to stay at
home. You need is that kid to be near a radio and like a gun.
Yeah.
Good God. All right. So
happy Halloween.
Is it cold where you are?
Do you have any big Halloween plans?
Sounds like they've been made.
No, we were supposed to take the little guys out.
No costume required.
We'll be doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. There's really no way to gracefully exit.
Did you know before, or were you just informed today?
This isn't related to the dead cat somehow in some horrible way, is it?
No.
You don't think?
No.
I mean, cutting, it ends with cats.
He was gone that weekend, so I know it wasn't him.
Good Lord almighty. Now, is this, if I can ask, how is it that you discovered this? Was it just sort of a where did all my knives go kind of a thing?
No, it's been building up, and we've been trying to deal with it as quickly and efficiently as we could.
I thought it was mostly chicks, and no disrespect to your son, but I thought it was mostly chicks who carved.
Well, I know, but he's this whole emo goth, you know, colored hair.
I tell you,
you could check out his MySpace account, but he blocked me from it, so he's not one of my friends.
Aww. This is just the worst phone call, and nothing personal. I'm just saying this is sort of now. Look,
your friends, Rick. Go find him.
I was just gonna say. Now we're venturing into very.
Is he one of my friends?
I think so. I know he's one of Rick's.
Yeah, no, he is. Now here's the thing. Now I wasn't gonna mention this, but since you brought up MySpace. We should get Gary Baumgartner on the phone. Now that you brought up MySpace, I will say this, and I won't say what his name is, but I did see Now I feel like an ass for not mentioning it earlier. No, I feel like a jerk now for not mentioning this. On MySpace the other day, I was sitting there logging in, checking my, you know, one of my friend requests or whatever, and I saw like a bulletin go by, you know, like in that lower left-hand corner, people can send out bulletins like, hey, big show tonight, the butt asses are going to be playing at Twilight, come see us. There was a bulletin that went by from your kid. What's that?
Is him saying he's going to off himself?
Yeah, there was a bulletin that went by from your kid. It didn't say that, but it was just, it was, I mean, he said, I feel like a jerk now for not mentioning it, because it was like a lot of like, you know, this, you know, I shall bid farewell to this raven-hued world or whatever. And it was sort of like, I'm gonna off myself, but it was just like drenched in so much like teenage goth poetry that I knew that it wasn't serious. And so I was like, well, yeah, there you go, those kooky kids. And then I just kind of moved on. Yeah. So now I feel like a jerk for not mentioning it.
No, it's just him and Amy Lee. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Okay. What does he cut? Is it sort of designs, or is it just sort of a straight line kind of a thing?
He's got tic-tac-toe lines, and he's got names of girls.
Yeah.
This is what it's all about. It's all about the, look at his MySpace. He's got like 25 girls. And they're all from his school, and they're all little goth chicks. And when he puts out those bulletins that says like that,
oh, I just want to comfort him.
He gets like 25 phone calls to the house within a half an hour.
Jesus, he's sort of a cutter player.
Yeah.
Good God. So now, if I can ask, now do you have him like in a room talking to a guy about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, because
$30 a session.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, no, I mean, a small price to pay, I guess. I don't think I ever cut myself. Sarah, you don't seem like a cutter.
No, I'm too vain.
I don't want to ruin my flawless porcelain skin. That's my reason. I don't think I was ever a cutter, but man, all my female friends were. Every girl I was friends with, every drama girl, every like band girl, they were all cutters. Probably, I would say this, of the girls in my social circle now as an adult, probably like 75% of them were cutters at some point in their adolescence. And probably like 90% of Sarah's friends. I'm guessing if you check the forearms and thighs of Sarah's female circle of friends, you're just going to see a whole bunch of like white and red lines there. So
I just never understood it. It just seems so painful.
Well, because it's like a dissociative thing. Not that I'm a shrink, but I mean, you know what it is? It's a total, as I understand it, it is a total, like control alt delete on your emotional system. That's totally what it is. As I understand, again, I don't pretend to know, but as I understand it, it's like there's all of this crap going around in your head, and it's like a billion angry mental bees. And the thing is, when you do that, it focuses. Look, now we're getting all. It is Halloween, but now we're getting all serious.
Is this a new Dr. Laura program?
No, because, look, I'm not just. Look, Rick Emerson doesn't care about most children most of the time. Let's be honest about
only
that.
Only listeners' children.
No, only the only children of
as
listeners. And, you know, and there are parents. There's a lot. Look, whether we want kids on the show or not, and listening to this program today,
a lot of people listening
for
guidance.
May veer towards the childlessness angle. But I got to tell you, but there's a lot of people around you who have kids. And I was never a cutter. But now that you can insert your own joke here about the. You can insert your own mental health will drive you mad. Joke here, but when I was an early teenager and when I was in my late childhood, like 11, 12, 13, I wasn't a cutter, but sounds retarded, but I used to actually hit my head against stuff. I was like I was a head banger, and so with blah 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 wah wah. And so when I was a kid, I would do it too. Actually, like when I was like in bed at night, I would sit and I would just like kind of go whack and like whack my head against the wall right next to my bed. And I stopped doing it as I got to be older. When I was a teenager, I quit doing it. But I asked my shrink about it years later, and I guess that's a thing that's closely related to cutting, because what it is it totally just it's like. God, I don't know what it's like. It's like when you hit your TV really hard for a second and the picture goes all fuzzy. Well, that's kind of what it is with all your stress. You get all of this stress built up inside your head, and if you cut yourself or if you whack your head on something, it's like there's people who burn themselves, they do all kinds of weird stuff, and it's because it focuses all of your mental energy on that one spot and that one activity for a second, and it just sort of blurs out everything else for a short period of time. And so it's a momentary interruption of like just all of like the crap going on in your head. That's my understanding of it anyway. So
is the degauss button on the monitor?
What's the yes? It totally. It's exactly what it is. It's a momentary bulk eraser. So Well, all right. Well, hey, sorry about that.
I think everything will be okay.
Yeah, I mean...
As it is with everyone who listens.
Go see Saw 3. It makes everything feel better.
Don't... I think your kid needs to not see anything that has Saw in the title.
No, not him. Me.
Go see Cut 3. All right. All right. See, now, if I were a zany, if I were a kooky, if I were a kooky morning show or a shock jock, I would then just suggest that he carve our call letters in his arm, and then I would give you a, and then I'd give you, like, a prize to a monster truck rally or something. I am not that guy, though. Well, I hope everything works out, and, I mean, it's a, you know, it's a freaky thing. I mean, I don't pretend to know anything really about it, but I hope it all works out. So, we haven't even done the teasing yet.
Nope.
Good God.
In a break.
Sarah, we're like from a break. Is Bob Costantini's going to call? Sarah, what should we do here? Should we... Well, yes. Chris is at home, clearly. So, should we break, do Bob Costantini, and then begin the teasing after that?
Sounds good.
It's all very exciting. Chris, why don't we get a hold of you after the break, after we talk to Bob?
Okay.
All right, brother. Hang on. There you go. We'll be back after a few. It's 503-733-297. I haven't even... And then with the whole... And then the... And with the... And I don't... And we... Okay. Hi. Rick Emerson Show. Well, that interview is just 1 week from tomorrow. Don't stress out. Joshua Jackson.
You're a jerk.
I'm not. I'm trying to keep your head in the game.
You know, I'm not. I'm just going to make all the questions for you to ask him.
I'm not asking him questions.
It's the Rick Emerson Show.
So what? Great. That's all I need is for you to...
I'll give you all
what
the
What is
research.
Your favorite color?
You can ask him if he's seeing anybody.
Yeah, that won't sound weird. So, Joshua Jackson.
Tell me you really loved him when he played the gay co-ed.
What do you like to do on a date? When do you begin to use tongue? 503-733-2970. Inexplicably enough, we'll do the whole opening of this show here in a few minutes after we talk to Bob Costantini. Well, good God almighty. This email says,
too many tootsie rolls.
Best show ever. I am Jack's sense of overwhelming joy for not having children. And then I swear, this is what the email says, by the way. This is not Rick Emerson saying this. The email says, I might be the only Puerto Rican not to have 5 children. Ha! Rodriguez out. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent and iconoclast, Bob Costantini. Hello, sir.
I'm not sure I can spell iconoclast, but I am one, right?
Oh, no, it exudes from your pores, sir. Like so much, like...
Some other stuff, yes.
Like so much personality like sweat. How's life, brother?
It's fine. Sitting here on Capitol Hill.
Like a bill?
Gather some stuff.
Okay. Trying to
just trying to
stick a little Schoolhouse Rock joke. Don't you worry about it there. Hey, so we are now, what, 7 days away from the election for the midterms?
Yes, 1 week from today.
Let me ask you this. Would I be correct in the assessment that George W. Bush, at least as far as his influence extends, has just given up on anywhere that doesn't have the word South in front of it? Because it seems, I mean, he's kind of swinging through the South a whole lot, but it seems like he's just sort of written off the rest of the country as far as his ability to swing anything.
Well, he's back in Georgia today. He was there yesterday, and he's been there a number of times recently and making appearances on behalf of various candidates. He's there for a two-term, he's there for a congressman, a former congressman, Mac Collins, who's trying to win a seat there against a Democrat. And he's in a rural area of Georgia, in the central part of the state. He will be going to Montana later on this week to help with the very difficult re-election bid of Senator Conrad Burns right now. That's what he's doing. He's going to areas that it's believed he might be able to help. These are sort of Republican-leaning areas, but with some people who may be in trouble. But not exactly going to, you know, the Northeast or anything.
He's not going to be hanging out at like, Berkeley anytime real soon.
No.
And when he shows up, he's sort of is rolling out the standard. It's like the GOP Holy Trinity, which is taxes, terrorism, gay marriage. I mean, that's just kind of the thing. He's just sort of pounding that one trifecta over and over and over and over again. Now, is this because... And this is sort of a question wrapped inside another question. I was going to say, is he following the same playbook that Karl Rove sort of perfected in 2004, which is that you scare people with social issues, and then they get to the vote, get to the booth, and they just vote the straight GOP ticket. And so my question is, A, Is that kind of what he's doing this year? But B, that also reflects a larger question, which is, does Karl Rove still have a heavy hand in all this stuff, just not as publicly as he used to?
Well, Karl Rove does have a hand in where the president decides to go, that's for sure. Part of the problem is that Karl Rove just can't simply make Iraq go away. And that's one of the, as we've pointed out in the past conversations we've had, that is the key issue for most voters this year. So, you know, the president is talking up terrorism, talking up the fact the United States hasn't had a terrorist attack, of course, since 9/11. He always brings up 9/11 in his remarks. And talking about taxes, how the Democrats, if they get control of Congress, will raise taxes on just about everybody. That's the standard line from his speech. I noticed that yesterday he talked about Iraq, but he talked about it toward the end of his remarks, and relatively little about it. He talked at length about the war on terror, though.
And so, it just, I guess that they're following this, again, just the same sort of playbook. And I mean, you just got to wonder at some point if they feel like they don't. What am I trying to say? It does seem to me that if they just keep hitting these same issues over and over again, even with people who are, it would seem to sort of already be in their camp, that eventually the voters are going to burn out on just constantly being terrified of, you know, terrified about gay marriage and taxes. It doesn't seem like it's going to pay dividends, you know, in years to come. So maybe they is their entire goal simply to focus on this upcoming election at the expense of maybe burning out those voters down the road?
Well, no matter what, whatever you may be feeling, if you're a Republican and the president comes to your town in your area, it is going to make you smile a little bit. And you may very well come out to see him. You may very well be part of the fundraiser he's attending. So it's not necessarily to, you know, it does garner a lot of local media attention as well, but it is designed to rally the GOP base.
I suppose.
And that, of course, is important.
As a final question before we let you go, this is something that bugs me, and I never really know the answer to this. When I see George W. Bush on television in, you know, whatever, Georgia, and he's there, and he's waving his arms and talking about, you know, and we must press Goody Proctor between two large stones, or whatever it is, am I paying for that?
I like your literary reference.
Well, that's what I do. am I paying for that trip?
You're paying, I mean, taxpayers, we all pay for part of that. Including part of, you know, what it takes to run Air Force One there and that kind of stuff. And the party does pay for it as well. I'm not sure exactly the breakdown. It just depends on whether the president does other things when he visits the town, which is one of the things that the incumbent president does do. He goes to make a speech at a certain town, but he also then attends a fundraiser at that town. He makes a speech about something.
So is that like if I buy a VCR, I got to make sure to tape like Nightline at least once on it, so I can then claim it as a tax write off?
If that's what you're doing, then your bosses should know. Yeah.
I'm just saying, theoretically speaking, then. All right, excellent.
But it's you know, the taxpayers do put some of the bill because the Secret Service have to go, and all the security has to be up to presidential standards.
And so this is probably the last day we're going to speak with you for a while. Lisa, she's back tomorrow? Or
Lisa is expected to be back here tomorrow from the heartland of America. She was in Ohio.
God bless her. Are you big plans for Halloween? What are you going as for Halloween, Bob Costantini?
I'm not sure what I'll be doing. I have we'll have kids over to our house. We'll have kids coming to our house.
Have you thought about maybe going as a flapper?
Trick or treating?
No, I mean just some beads and like a feather boa. You could go as a flapper, maybe. You know, kind of.
No, my wife
give people a taste of,
would really not like that.
Just to give people a little taste of the unexpected. All right, Bob Costantini, my friend. It's always good to talk to you. We will speak with you again in the future.
Thank you so much.
There you go. Bob Costantini on the Hill, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the thing about Bob. Is that I know that you believe that he just dreads these calls to us, but even if that's true, which I don't believe it is, because I believe that our show is genius, I believe that even if that was the case, it makes the rest of his day easier. Do you know what I mean? Like, everything after this is just down, he's coasting after this. If he despises me, then so much the better for the rest of his day. He doesn't have to worry about it.
That's very true.
It's true. Scotty has made an entire collection. Where are they? In the Tuesday file? Okay, okay. Oh, I see. I'm sorry. I can tell that they're Halloween stuff because they're labeled Spooky FX. All right. Are these... Why would I even need... Really? The sound of scissors cutting hair? Are you kidding me? How long is this? Wait, hold on. I have to start this again. This is over a minute long. Okay.
What else is there?
Really, what else do we need? We've got this. Okay, let's try. Here's another spooky sound effect. This is from, from Scotty J. All right, that's just an elevator door. Okay.
Captain Underpants.
This doesn't make any sense. All right, David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
What's up, brother?
I almost died 20 years ago. When?
That's right, we have to finish up yesterday's, the closest
well, we
I ever came
to
dying
we also need to start the
was.
Show today. I have it
oh,
all
yeah.
set up.
All right, David, we are going to take your call. Now, I know this sounds very familiar, but I'm going to put you back on hold for a second. Hang tight, we're just going to put you back in the box for just a second, and then we'll get right to you, okay?
Cool.
Okay, hang. Hold on. Oh, there you go. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen. Tim, if you can. I'll just play this scissor cutting sound effect to amuse us in the meantime. Tim Riley.
Did you eat the Tootsie Roll I gave you?
No. It's sitting right in front of me.
Somebody turned down my monitor.
Oh, okay. Can I turn off this scissor cutting sound
yes,
effect?
Let's start the show over again.
All right. I'm just going to sit right here.
Should I turn the cast back? Yes, that's you.
What? Oh, nothing.
You're I'll stay right here.
AM 970 KCMB. Yeah. Radio. Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
Oh, all right. You know, I already played this version. Let me play the other version here. Hold on. This is, well, since we're starting the show over.
Halloween. It's Halloween.
36 seconds after the hour of, no, it's 46 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11. Can we bring those scissors back? All right. I'm just going to have the scissors rolling in the background the entire show, I think.
Yeah, that won't get old.
No. This is genius. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day. 503-733-2970. Glad you're there. Thank you for coming by and so forth. All right. If you'd like to email us today, you can do that. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on in today's program, we have CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Dennis Bitsenberger is going to be stopping in later as well. We have the brand new single from Storm Large, which is the Dave Navarroized version of Ladylike. I think it's officially released, I don't know, like this morning, an hour ago, 2 hours ago, something like that. Before we do anything else, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program official stenographer, our good friend.
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Mailman Chris. Hello, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. That's me. I need to actually pick up the phone. Hello. Best show ever. Mailman Chris. Hello.
How are you today?
I'm fantastic. Let's just skip the section where I ask how you are. All right. So, yeah. So, here's
the scissor cutting sound effect is perfect for you today.
It really is terrifying. I'm feeling my bones all spooked. Let's see here. Yes, we got today. We got the official Navarroized version of the new Storm Large single, "Ladylike," which is Davey Nipples. Let's see, Jimmy from the Balls, Storm herself, Nate Morton from the House Band, and Dave Navarro on guitar. So we got that later. Reasons to avoid the Midwest, we'll be talking about. We'll be telling you who has a terrible movie they're trying to make sure nobody ever sees. Jim Roop will be joining us. Bob Costantini will join us later on as well. Dennis Pitsenbarger will be here. And, I really tried hard to... Because, you know, Clyde came in on whatever the hell that was, Friday. And he came in, he's like, I have this top five. And then it turns out that he never actually brought the top five with him. Like, creating the top five in Clyde's world just sort of consisted of telling me what it was and then magically expecting me to have it all. And so I went home last night, and I really did labor for quite some time in trying to get that top five put together. And wasn't really able to do it. So what I have today is a top two. We'll be doing the top two scariest songs according to Clyde Lewis. The good news is it's going to be so short we might actually get it done. Because it's two. Not five. And there you go.
All right, so we'll be talking to Bob Constantini today?
Yes, yes. Right. I have a feeling we'll get that one crossed off.
All right, probably. Jim Roop, yeah. Dennis Pitsenbarger, Storm Large, Dave Navarro single.
Genius.
Reasons to avoid the Midwest, a terrible movie, and how they're making you avoid it.
Yes. Well, no, it's somebody who's determined to make sure we never see the film. Yeah.
Okay. And then the top two.
That is exactly it, sir. That's what we've. That's the top two. Will be. I think it will be gotten to today as well. So there you go, my friend.
And Band-Aid.
What's that? Oh, and Band-Aid. We will be getting the Band-Aid as well. So there you go. That is what is on the agenda, Mailman Chris.
Excellent.
All right. There you go.
Free.
All right. There you go. Thank you, sir. All right. There you go. It's Mailman Chris. Joined as always today by the lovely and talented Sarah Exelon. How are you doing?
I'm good.
It's great. Hey, did you write that obituary?
No.
Me either.
Okay.
Tim?
I was much too busy with other things.
Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
John Kerry tells students, either get an education or end up in Iraq. A dead dad. Oh, I'm sorry. A drunk dad uses his 7-year-old son as a designated driver. Steve Irwin costumes are the hottest thing this Halloween. And a cigarette ignites the cotton balls and glue on the man's costume. Hilarious result.
And by hilarious, we mean...
Bernie.
Yes, thank you. There you go. And so I'll tell you what we're going to do here in just a second. We will go to the phones. We have these calls from yesterday. I'm unclear about whether we should end the contest this hour.
Will you please stop playing the scissors?
But they're terrifying. I could play some other stuff.
Play some other stuff.
The other stuff might not be as soothing. No, that doesn't make any... No. I don't even know what... I don't even know what that
chain?
Is. I have
is
no
the
idea.
Chain's being dropped?
Oh, yes. There we go. Just keep that running in the background. So anyway, we'll be taking some of these phone calls from people who nearly died. And then later on...
We're going to get to today.
So there you go. That's what's coming up today. All right. Anywho, so there you go. We haven't even talked about Sean. We haven't even talked about Sean and his costume. So what we're going to do is we will get these calls, and then because we have the final pair of tickets to House of Midnight, which is that haunted house that runs out 20 minutes south of Portland. We have that, and we have this new book from The Onion. Now, we had taken calls all day yesterday about the closest I ever came to dying was. And we got three calls at the end of the show we hadn't gotten to. Now, we could either do those three calls here and then announce the winner, or we could do those three calls here, take some more kind of sporadically throughout the day, do the winner at the end.
No. Let's do the three now.
You just shake her. No.
We'll go to break, and we'll decide over the break, and then right before 10.
Well, let's do those right here. All right, David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Well, this happened about 20 years ago when I was in the Navy and home on leave.
Okay.
Yes, some friends and I, we went out boating down at Willamette Park, just down upriver from you guys, on McAdam. And I had this, after drinking copious amounts of alcohol, had this bright idea to climb a pier piling.
like one of those pilings that holds up the pier?
Yes.
Genius.
The old wooden ones.
Yeah, excellent. Fantastic.
So I climbed up about 25 feet in the air and then covered with creosote, dove off.
Covered in creosote. I love any story that has the phrase covered in creosote.
Well, as I dove off, I'm still about halfway down and still horizontal, and I did a belly flop from 30 feet in the air.
Jesus. You know, that's no good. I mean, you got creosote there, which is an unpleasant word anyway. And then you got how high in the air were you?
About 30 feet, but I knocked the wind out of me as I hit the water.
Jesus.
So now I'm trying to tread water and get my lungs inflated.
Fantastic. Excellent. All right. There you go. David, thank you so much. I'm going to put you on hold, Scotty. We'll make sure we have your information, and then we will announce a winner here after the break. Thank you, David. There you go. Two more here. We'll get to Steve. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Good morning, sir.
Hi there. So finish this sentence. The closest I ever came to dying was?
My dwarf girlfriend almost drowned me. This was several years ago. I had a girlfriend who was 4 feet, 11 and a half inches tall, an inch and a half short from being an official dwarf.
Now, was she a dwarf or a midget?
Well,
let me ask you this. Were her limbs in proportion?
Yes.
So I believe that she was a midget. Did she have, like, stumpy legs?
For her, I always use her term, calling herself almost a dwarf.
Almost a dwarf. Okay. All right.
So... she wanted to take me whitewater rafting, and I am not a small man. And she also had monocular vision, which means she has no depth perception.
Monocular vision? Was she missing an eye?
Not at that time. So she rode us down the Rogue River, and we approached rapids, the kind of which you hear them a mile before you see them, and managed to hit a rock wall and cannonballed both of us down into this churning cesspool of water. It was like having hands grab your ankle to pull you under, and the lights started to go out. But sometimes the water keeps you, and sometimes it doesn't.
Jesus. Okay.
And managed to live through it, and she is now, with monocular vision, law enforcement officer carrying a gun.
I'm listening.
That's my story, dude.
No, it's fantastic.
How did she lose an eye?
And what do you mean, not at that time? What do you mean?
Rick, I'm putting down your stopper.
How did she lose an eye? Yeah, and what do you mean she hadn't lost an eye at that time?
I'm just playing with you, Rick. She's still got two eyes.
Okay, but I mean she had monocular vision, though.
Yes, she has two eyes, but for some medical reason that she was born with, you can only see, and you can't see three-dimensional. You can only, and things look flat.
That's weird. All right, so she's a midget with no depth perception.
Exactly.
How long did you guys go out for?
5 years.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure she had a great personality
and
all.
How tall are you?
How tall am I? 5'8".
Are you making this whole thing up?
No, sir. Absolutely not.
So you're 5'8", and she was how tall? 4.5?
4 feet, 11 and 1/2 inches.
See, now let me ask you. Was it painful to have intimate relations?
Well, she had to go up on me.
Okay.
That's okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Goodbye.
Okay. And we're done. Okay.
You had to ask. I'm surprised you didn't ask questions about 3D movies.
I totally should have.
I totally thought you were going to.
That's fantastic. One more. Deborah, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick.
Hi.
Mine has to do with surfing. I almost died surfing in 1981.
All right.
It's sort of related to Undertow. I lost my surfboard. The cord snapped, the little thing that goes from your ankle to the board.
Oh, yeah, that thing just so you can find the board after you wipe out or whatever, right?
Right. It's kind of like a lifeline, but it broke. So my lifeline went to shore. The board went to shore. I stayed out in the ocean. I tried to swim laterally, across, parallel to the shore so I could get out of the undertow, but it kept carrying me anyway. I lost all my strength. So then I started doing the dead man's float. Yeah, and I'm screaming to shore because there was one guy on the beach, and I was hoping he could hear me, probably. And I was screaming for my life, and I knew I had no more energy, and I started thinking of my identical twin in Europe, and she'd have to come home for the funeral. And my dad had just died in a car accident a few years before, and it would just kill my mother.
Now, this is like
dying.
Another life flashing before your eyes kind of moment.
Exactly.
Oh, this is fascinating.
And it started to get dark, and it was raining on my face.
Oh, this is like a full-on open water moment where you're just out there forever.
Yes, and it seemed like eternity, and it sure felt like it if it wasn't.
Do you know about how long you were out there?
Oh, I'm just guessing. 40 minutes.
But even 40 minutes, that's just terrifying. That's
I was just floating. I had a wetsuit on, full wetsuit, sort of helps with flotation. So I was floating on my back, and then all of a sudden I felt a little rock with my big toe.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden there was more rocks, and I found myself climbing onto a rocky outcropping at Oswald West State Park, just before you go out to open sea.
Right.
And I literally, like you're crawling up on a desert island, I was crawling up on this rocky shore.
That's so creepy. And especially the fact that it was right, like if you'd missed that, it totally would have been right under the open sea.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And I was, like I said, I'd been screaming. I knew I was dying. There was almost a moment of calm. I go, this is it. But it's weird because you're not taking in water yet. You're not actually drowning. You
totally.
Just know that it's going to be inevitable.
Like, were you able to walk or did someone find you?
Yeah, I was on pure adrenaline because, I was wobbly, and I walked over to this guy sitting on the beach, this other surfer, and I said, dude, what are you, did you hear me screaming for help? And he said, I didn't know where a payphone was. So I was like,
Jesus.
And he said, do you want coffee? And I go, yes. and I made it to a Dairy Queen payphone on Highway 26 on the way home, and I called my mom, and I said, Mom, I'm coming home, and
God Almighty.
You're lucky. And I guess I slept for 16 hours, and I could not even get out of bed. My muscles were so fast.
All right. See, and every so often I think I'm going to get over my fear of water, and now it's back, so thank you.
No, I won't even go deep-sea fishing or anything anymore.
I can imagine. All right, well, we're glad you didn't die, Deborah, so.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, there you go. That's Deborah, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Let's break, shall we? Tell you what, we're going to take a break, and what we'll do is we will come back after this. Coming up, let me see if I can find my, make sure I got my, the so forth and the hey-hey and the whatnot. All right, we'll be back after this. This is the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970, Solid State Radio. It is our Halloween program. We return with the AM 970 noon news hour around the corner. Coming up later on, Jim Roop, Dennis Pitzenbarger, and more of Scotty J's spooky sound effects. Stay there. Here's Glenn Danzig. You came to rock.